Hello, I'm Art Levine, host of the Straight Talk television show, now celebrating its 25th anniversary year on air. Over the past 25 years, we've recorded more than 500 shows and interviewed nearly 1,000 guests. As part of our 25th anniversary celebration, we have selected 25 of our most memorable shows to re-air as Straight Talk classics. This show is one of those classics. We trust you will enjoy seeing a part of Long Beach history, one of the many political leaders who have been our guest, or some of the nationally known actors, singers, and distinguished speakers who have visited us. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a Straight Talk Classic. The Straight Talk Classic series is brought to you through the generous support of SCAN, celebrating 40 years of keeping seniors healthy and independent. We're back and we're continuing our discussion with Governor George Duke Majan, former governor of the state of California.
How quickly they forget.
Thank you for helping me out of that one. We're very honored to have the governor with us tonight, and we were talking about the economic growth potential of California and also of Long Beach. And I'd like to raise this issue with you, Governor, the role of education. I've been a professor at Long Beach State ever since I've been out here in 1974. And many feel, and I certainly feel, that the economic growth in California has been largely fueled by the availability of low-cost, high-quality higher education. And it seems to me that today that is at risk, that we are there are major cutbacks in educational funding. Students cannot get classes. Tuitions are going up. And it seems to me that we are really risking killing the goose that laid the golden egg.
Well, there have been tremendous demands, as you know, for all kinds of governmental services over the years. And those demands have steadily increased. A lot of people justifiably say that I was pretty tight when it came to the public purse. But despite the fact that I used my veto authority several thousand times, and despite the fact that I vetoed over $5 billion in spending, my last budget was 100% higher than my first budget. Our problem has not been for a lack of spending, so to speak. We have continually increased spending for essential governmental services in California. The problem is that the demand always seems to outstrip what resources are available. And, of course, you always have to keep in mind that you can't drive the people and businesses away by having too much taxation, and the public isn't going to stand for that either. So actually what it gets down to is we just have to be much wiser in the way in which we use the very precious resources that are available.
But it only costs $10,000 a year to educate a student and $50,000 a year to lock up a prisoner.
That's true. But what is the solution? That we're going to put $50,000 behind every student in school? And I mean, you just can't do that. You just can't afford that. At the same time, the public is demanding that they be allowed to live and work in peace and with security. And so if there are all these people out there committing crimes, the public also, in addition to wanting a good educational system, they also want to make sure that there is peace and security in their neighborhoods. And what kind of a quality of life do we have if we cannot go about our business without fearing becoming a victim of a crime?
Well, you know, I was at a Republican dinner last week, and among the speakers was Sheriff Block, and he was asked the question that if he could really blow up the funding of one program that would help reduce the crime problem, what would it be? And interestingly enough, his answer was the Head Start program.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you realize that, and I'm sure a lot of your viewers do not realize, that 53% of the total state budget goes to education, from kindergarten through the university system, 53%. 32% of the state budget goes for health and welfare. Now that's 85% of the budget for those two big ticket items. Everything else, the other 15%, is for like everything from the highway patrol to the prison system to parks and recreation, all other state services. So while we constantly hear that there's a need for more money for schools, while we constantly hear there's a need for more money for medical care, for welfare costs and so forth, the point is that those two items alone take up 85% of the budget.
Well, it's a good, certainly a point well taken, and maybe it's not just money that wherein the solution lies, but maybe it's a change in the way we in the educational field do business, and maybe we have to change our ways a bit to take into account these budget realities, which really seem like they're not going to go away.
Well, I'll tell you, for during the 28 years I was in Sacramento, from the very beginning, I've never heard one year that the schools didn't say they didn't have enough money. Yeah. Regardless, I swear to you, they would come in and lobby every year saying they had to have more money.
And you never heard them say, we have too much money this year, Governor. Let us return some for other purposes.
Never.
Well, we want to focus for a moment on this very exciting economic possibility of this free enterprise zone with Mexico, because if that comes about, many of the economic problems that both of our countries face may be headed toward solution.
Well, I'm very heartened by the leadership that we're now seeing in Mexico. This leadership is really and truly working toward trying to enhance the quality of life for the people in Mexico, trying to strengthen the economy, recognizing that if they're going to serve the public, that they've got to do this. And what we're beginning to really see now is an all-out effort to try to arrange a free trade agreement between Mexico and the United States. And I'm very confident that's going to happen. And now we already have a free trade agreement with Canada. And then the plan is to have a North American accord so that all of the people in North America can benefit from free and open trade. Already, for example, we have what they call the Twin Plants Program, or they call it the Maquiladora Program, where a lot of factories have been built along the borders on both sides of the California and Mexican border, and also the other border states like Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and so on. And as a result, thousands of new jobs are being created for the nationals of Mexico in their own country, which is helping to improve their standard of living, and at the same time, it's reducing some of the need for many of those people to cross over into our country and into our state illegally. Now, we have to build upon that base, and with a free trade agreement, I think that we will see a further enhancement, a further strengthening of the economies on both sides of the border.
And you believe that it's likely that this free trade agreement will be passed by both countries next year?
Yes, I really do. I think there still are some provisions that have to be worked out. There still needs to be a strong educational effort made, but I'm pretty confident. I'll say I'm very confident, I'm very confident that that's going to happen.
One last point on the economic situation before we go to commercial break. A friend of mine who's an attorney said they attended a big conference in Hawaii. They were addressed by a major economist from Japan, and he was very optimistic about the economic future of California for a reason that I had never heard of before. He said with the Hong Kong situation being what it is and the clock ticking as China approaches the date of control, that a lot of the Hong Kong capital and know-how will leave in fear of what's going to happen, and it will come to California, and this will be the greatest thing going for California.
Well, I think that some of that is going to come to California. Some of it's already going to Canada. Some of it is already going to Taiwan. Some of it's going to places like Thailand and Singapore. But we'll get some of that, yes.
Well, we're going to continue our discussion with the governor, and when we come back, we will ask him what his political plans are for the future. So stay with us for the remaining portions of Straight Talk.
Western State University College of Law, with campuses in Fullerton, Irvine, and San Diego, is the largest law school in California. In the last 25 years, we've graduated over 9,000 students. Western State has an innovative curriculum and flexible scheduling and is accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges and the Committee of Bar Examiners of the State of California. Learn more by calling 714-738-1000.
In 1881, Long Beach is established as a town site, and the two-year-old John Blosser Carpet Company makes the trip from Los Angeles to install carpeting. 1927, the first talking picture premieres. The red carpet is rolled out by John Blosser Carpet Company. Today, John Blosser Carpet Company still offers the same old-fashioned quality and service that made them famous. For carpeting, tile, draperies, or hardwood floors, John Blosser Carpet Company sells and installs it all. John Blosser Carpet Company, the oldest carpet company in California.
I'm Umberto. At Umberto Men's Store, we provide you with personalized service and wardrobe consultations.
Umberto will help you choose from the generous selection of imported high-quality suits, sport coats, and slacks. Their tailors can service you in just a day or two. Umberto carries the finest clothing for men and women, both business and casual wear. Umberto has helped people dress for success for over a quarter of a century.
I hope you'll visit us soon. That's Umberto's, 2141 Belfar Boulevard.
If you want to see the one that got away, catch it for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch at the Fishtail, Long Beach's oldest seafood restaurant. The Fishtail's full menu of seafood, steaks, pasta, ribs, and much more is all served in a warm, friendly atmosphere reminiscent of days gone by. Plus, we have a pearl of an oyster bar to satisfy anyone's appetite. We also offer daily lunch and dinner specials 7 days a week. For great food and quenching drink, meet your friends at the Fishtail, the oldest seafood restaurant in Long Beach.
We're continuing our discussion with Governor George Duke Majan, governor of California from January of 83 to January of 1991. And we mentioned earlier that, or he mentioned that 28 years in public service and now almost 1 year out of it. What plans for the future to run for office? I know that there was a lot of discussion about the possibility of you being George Bush's vice presidential running mate, but that would have meant leaving the governorship of California, and the lieutenant governor, a Democrat, would step in, and that just wasn't going to work.
That's right. That wasn't in the cards. And probably now that I look at it, maybe it's a good thing it wasn't in the cards, because I'm just really now enjoying the privacy that I have and the normal lifestyle that I have. And I have absolutely no intention, no plans whatsoever of ever running for any other public office. I really was honored to have been able to serve in the positions that I held, and especially to be governor of the most populous state, the greatest state in the United States, for two terms. And you know, what else could anybody ask for? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I never ever dreamed that I would ever hold a position like that in my lifetime. And so I'm glad the people gave me that opportunity to serve. And so now I'm just going to leave those offices to younger people that take over. Wow. And after looking at that Senate committee, I think a few of those fellows ought to move on and let some younger people come in too.
Well said indeed. And it seems to me that that one of the failings of political leaders and other leaders as well, for that matter, is that they don't know the right time to move on. And I'm impressed with how comfortable you are with that decision, and it's clear to me that you believe it fervently and in fact will do it.
Yeah.
What would you say to you mentioned the young people a few moments ago, and each generation has to breed its own leaders and find its way. There's a lot of cynicism about public service and public servants and corruption and abuses and all the things, some of which we touched on tonight. What would you say to the young people of our community about the possibility of going into public service today?
Well, it is indeed. It's a very noble calling, and I think that there's a tremendous amount of personal satisfaction that people get from serving the public. And I would hope, and I'm sure, that there will be a lot of young people that will want to be involved, who have an interest in government, who have an interest in the conditions in which under which we live and the quality of life. And I would only say to them that, you know, if they're not totally happy with the way things are, that they themselves have to get in, they have to be involved. And under our form of government, you know, if people are not involved, if they're not concerned, then I think things get a lot worse. So I would hope that a lot of young people would look at a career of public service. But I also would say that if they're thinking about being an elected office holder, that they have to first, they have to demonstrate that they're committed to their community, that they want to make a contribution to their community. They can't expect to just get up in the morning and say, I'm going to run for state assembly or senate or whatever. They've got to demonstrate this through activity, through involvement, through dedication, and for people to get to know them and to know what they stand for. But I think that there are opportunities. And now, of course, there's this term limitation.
Yes, a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, and the California Supreme Court has upheld that proposition.
Your smile suggests to me that you fully support.
So there's going to be an opportunity now for a considerable amount of more turnover, since assemblymen can only stay in for a total of 6 years, three terms.
Yes.
Senators, a total of two terms for 8 years and so forth. So there's probably going to be even more opportunities available.
Well, it always seemed to me that that was, I myself opposed it because of its anti-democratic features, but it was explained to me by a political scientist whose opinion I respect that we'll never get gerrymandering reform, and therefore this is the only way to shake up the deck.
That's exactly right. We wouldn't have needed term limits if we'd have had a fair redistricting system. But the way it is, you get incumbents that are entrenched there for forever under this gerrymandering system.
So, well, it has been also said that every people gets the government it deserves, and if the good people punt on public service and leave it to the others, we'll all have to pay for the results.
That's right.
Looking back again at your both private career and public career and life, you started on the East Coast and then migrated west to California. Any regrets? Any things you would have done differently?
No major decisions would I have done differently. First thing is, the smartest thing that I ever did was asking my wife to marry me. And when she accepted, that's of course the best decision that I ever made, and I think that she feels the same way. And then that helped to introduce me to Long Beach, because when I was living in Los Angeles when I started dating her, and that's how I came down to visit Long Beach. And then when I hung up my shingle in Long Beach, was in Belmont Shore on the second floor of the Coast Bank building. I didn't know anybody in the whole city of Long Beach other than my wife, and she's the only person I knew, and that was about 33, 34 years ago, and that's where I started out practicing law in Belmont Shore, and now 34 years later, now I'm in, and I was by myself, now I'm in a law firm that has over 700 lawyers in it.
Oh my God.
Nationally and internationally. And I've even gone up, because my office now is on the 35th floor in a high-rise building in Los Angeles. It's been a great life.
That really is extraordinary. And as they say, you've certainly come a long way from an attorney in Belmont Shore. We're really very, very proud to consider you one of our own, our neighbor and our friend, really. And you certainly brought a special luster to the Belmont Shore and greater Long Beach community. And we just have a minute or two left. Governor, anything you want to say about anything to anyone?
Well, I just think that people should get involved, be active in the community, and be constructively active. I think that's important. It's one thing just to voice complaints and criticisms, but I think it's another thing to try to work in a constructive way and to recognize that it's going to be in the best interest of everybody if they do that. And of course, very often, you know, the news media will always kind of focus on the negative, or they'll focus on the controversial. Unfortunately, that seems to be the way they think that's what their role is. But I hope that the public as a whole doesn't get caught up in that, but instead tries to work in a cooperative way. And I think if they do that, I think the future for Long Beach and the future for California are great indeed.
Governor George Dukmejian, thank you for honoring us with your presence here tonight. And I only wish that your private career now is as successful as your public one has been.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Okay, we'll be back with the rest of Straight Talk after these commercial messages.
I'm Umberto. At Umberto Minstar, we provide you with personalized service and wardrobe consultations.
Umberto will help you choose from the generous selection of imported high-quality suits, sport coats, and slacks. Their tailors can service you in just a day or two. Umberto carries the finest clothing for men and women, both business and casual wear. Umberto has helped people dress for success for over a quarter of a century.
I hope he'll visit us soon. That's Umberto's, 2141 Belfar Boulevard.
Would you like to hear world news from where it's happening, while it's happening? You can hear firsthand reports on uprisings like those that recently happened in the Middle East. Right now, Act Electronics is having a big sale on Sony and Grundig shortwave radios. These radios receive direct broadcasts from all over the world, including the Middle East, Germany, and Latin America. So get down to Act Electronics now before the world passes you by.
You may not think the gas you can save makes a difference, or the amount your whole neighborhood can save, or even your whole town. But when you see how much gas America can save every day, when we all drive just 5 miles per hour slower, it's easy to see how the little bit you can do makes a lot of difference. President Bush hopes you'll do your part. Drive smart.
In 1881, Long Beach is established as a town site, and the two-year-old John Bloser Carpet Company makes the trip from Los Angeles to install carpeting. 1927, the first talking picture premieres. The red carpet is rolled out by John Bloser Carpet Company. Today, John Bloser Carpet Company still offers the same old-fashioned quality and service that made them famous. For carpeting, tile, draperies, or hardwood floors, John Bloser Carpet Company sells and installs it all. John Bloser Carpet Company, the oldest carpet company in California.
Well, that was quite an experience for me personally, and really very, very honored to have the governor here as our guest. And I just like to say personally, although I have my disagreements politically with him on certain issues, I have enormous respect for him as a person, for his integrity, and for the fact that that he's a very real person. And many of us have seen him and Gloria in Belmont Shore doing normal things the way normal people do it. And it's really a welcome change from many other political leaders to see someone that takes their work seriously but does not take themselves that seriously. And I think regardless of one's specific political beliefs, our political system would be better off with more people that that share those kind of values. Next week, we will be focusing on education, and our guest will be the new chancellor of the Cal State system, Dr. Barry Munitz, who also is a resident of Long Beach and, in fact, Belmont Heights, and has a huge problem to face with the budget cuts, and already has announced his plans to decentralize the system and give the individual campus presidents more leeway in spending the limited dollars that are available. But we'll be spending time with Dr. Munitz and going into detail on what his plans are and how he sees the future of education, because as mentioned in our discussion with the governor, I really believe that that the educational opportunities that we offer to the youth of California is critically important, and giving them an education, giving them a first-rate education is critical for to enable us to compete economically with the youth abroad. Many of us saw the national report a few weeks ago indicating that American students are not competitive in math and science with the children in the countries who are our trading competitors, and we need to remedy that. And California has had a tradition of first-rate education for everybody, and particularly with the cultural diversity that's coming in, it seems to me that education is more important than ever. So as we come to the close of our show, I first invite any of you that would like to drop us a line on any comments you might have. Our P.O. Box 3114 will appear at the end of the credit roll, and thank all of our crew and staff for their fine work this evening, and invite you at home to join us next week for another edition of Straight Talk. Good night, everyone.
This Straight Talk Classic show has been brought to you through the generous support of SCAN, celebrating 40 years of keeping seniors healthy and independent.
Job with an engineering firm in New York. I got a better offer. I'm building schools overseas with the Peace Corps. The pace is a little slower than New York, but here I'm getting grassroots experience I couldn't get anywhere else. The way I look at it, the world can wait 2 years for another 40-story smoked glass high-rise.
Peace Corps, the toughest job you'll ever love.
You can save makes a difference, or the amount your whole neighborhood can save, or even your whole town. But when you see how much gas America can save every day, when we all drive just 5 miles per hour slower, it's easy to see how the little bit you can do makes a lot of difference. President Bush hopes you'll do your part. Drive smart.
Come from?